This is one of his favorite pastimes. ecclesiastic. So let's begin reading then. This is 10 Peter chapter 4, chapter 24, worshipping over nothing. Verse 1. She should have loved you. Bhagavad Gita Chaya, Avadeva, the Son of Yata, Avastya, the Son of Yoga, Indra Yaya, the Totila. Shukadeva Swami said, whilst staying in that very place with his brother Avadeva, Lord Krishna happened to see the cowherd men busily arranging for a sacrifice to Indra. So it's a bit what here by our BBT commentators. According to Shri Srinivasani and other acharyas, the words touch and anger in this verse indicate the Lord Krishna's faith in the village of the Brahmins, whose wives are satisfied her by their devotion. Thus he gave this mercy to those Brahmins as well as to their chaste wives, who had no one to associate with except their husbands. In that place, the cowherd headed by Lord Krishna's father, Nandamaharaj, was somehow or other preparing an elaborate sacrifice to Lord Indra. And Lord Krishna reacted as follows. So that place, the place where the village of those Brahmins is, where that pastime happened, with the wives of the Brahmins, it is not very near Gurdwara Hill. It is just outside Vrindavan Town, more or less on the way to Mathura. At least it is there on the southern side of the Vrindavan Town, just outside of the town on the way. But Nandamaharaj and all the cowherd men, they were doing various things there in preparation for Durga Puja. So, being young the skin soon dissolves, pre-Lord Krishna already understood the situation, yet he still humbly inquired for the elders, headed by his father, Nandamaharaj. Lord Krishna said, my dear father, can you explain to me what this great endeavor of yours is all about? What is it meant to accomplish? If this is a ritual sacrifice, then whose satisfaction is it intended? And by what means is it going to be executed? Please tell me about it, O Father. I have a great desire to know, and am ready to hear in good faith. Certainly no secrets that you get by saintly personalities, who see all others as equal to themselves, who have no conception of mine or another's, and who do not consider who is a friend, who is an enemy, and who is neutral.
Sometimes they understand what they're doing and sometimes they don't. Those who know what
sincerity based on spiritual intention, was to be a custom of ordinary society. Then Maharaja replied, "The great Lord of India, the controller of the rain, the clouds are his principal representatives, and they directly provide rain water, which gives happiness and sustenance to all nations. Not only would like his son, but also any other man worship him, the Lord and Master of the rain-giving clouds. We offer him rain and other paraphernalia of worship, produced through his own discharge in the form of rain. By accepting the remnants of sacrifices performed to Indra, people sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Thus, Lord Indra is the agent responsible for the greater success of industrious people." This religious principle is based on sound tradition. Anyone who rejects it out of lust, enmity, fear, or greed will certainly fail to achieve good fortune. Shri Goswami said, "When Lord Keshava Krishna heard the statements of his father and other senior residents of Vrindavan, he addressed his father as follows to arouse anger in Lord Indra. Lord Krishna said, so now, very important point, if the Lord Krishna is going to give some type of explanation of why the Indra Yagya should not be performed, but rather why Govinda Puja should be performed, and all the paraphernalia of the Indra Yagya should be used for that Govinda Puja." Of course, we understand that the reason, the real reason for this, is that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and Lord Indra is not. This is the main reason. This is the focal point of the whole pastime. Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna is the supreme controller, supreme master of everything, everyone. So everything should be done for his pleasure. All religious activities which are not for his pleasure should be abandoned. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharma Parijaya, Mahavika Charan Raja. On top of that, Govardhana Hill is the form of Krishna. Even for that matter, the whole of Rajamandala is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's all worshipable. But Govardhana Hill is especially worshipable because it's such a special place within Rajamandala. And it renders, it provides facilities. Krishna's pastimes in so many ways. So even amongst all the places in Rajamandala, which are all very wonderful and extremely important, but still Govardhana Hill is of special importance. Therefore we worship, therefore we perform Govardhana Puja, and therefore the inhabitants of Vrindavan should also do Govardhana Puja, Lord Krishna said, instead of Indra Puja. But Lord Krishna did not want to just come out and say in a very direct and clear, forthright way that this is the case. Listen here, Don't worship anyone else. Go to that Buddha's form of me, and as therefore as worshipable as me. So therefore, just offer your humble obeisances to me, and do all these things, offer all these things to me, and go to that Buddha. Krishna did not want to do that. In fact, Krishna specifically wanted to avoid doing that. Because if all the inhabitants of Vrindavan became convinced, were forced to accept that Krishna is God, then that would have been the end of the Itinerary pastimes of Vrindavan. Those pastimes in which they don't know that Krishna is God, but rather they accept him as their child, in the case of the parental devotees, or they accept him as their friend, in the case of the helper boys and others like that, or they accept Krishna as their boyfriend like the devotees. And all of these loving relationships are very intimate and extremely deep. And Krishna loves those relationships so much. And that all the devotees, it means so much to them. It is everything to them. But that loving intimacy would have been lost if they just accepted that yes, Krishna is God, let us worship him. He's not really my friend or child or like that. So Krishna wanted to protect the sweetness of those intimate pastimes, which are the topmost of all pastimes. Therefore he was forced to explain why they should not perform in puja in a different way. And in fact, in a way which is not really true. Yes. He explained some. You could say concocted philosophical concepts which are not true. It is called karma mimamsa. Karma mimamsa. Which, anyway, we'll read through this several verses now in which Krishna explains that concept, illusory concept. But the basic idea is that everything is happening automatically in terms of your karma. So therefore you should just make sure you have lots of good karma, and then all sorts of good things will happen to you. And God, if there is a God, which of course there does not have to be according to these ideas, because it is just like a machine. Just automatically, you do one thing automatically, the suitable response comes, just as in your motor car you switch on the key and the motor starts. It's all just programmed into the whole setup. It is not that there is a little person inside there who then goes to work and turns on the engine. It is just a mechanical process. So this is the idea, or a very important part of the idea of the karma mimamsa, that just do the right things and do those things which are going to produce good results. So let's be on and then we'll get the idea. Lord Krishna said, it is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth, and it is by karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear, and sense is that he has to make sure that you get the results of your program. He cannot change what you get or anything like that. That he just, if he has anything to do with it, which he does not need to really because of his mechanical, then at best, his role is to make sure you get your karma. So he becomes a dependent aspect of karma. And as you sow, so shall you reap. Even if there is some supreme control of the laws or others, the results of their activities, he must also depend upon the performers engaging in activity. After all, there is no question of being the bestower of fruited results, unless fruited activities have actually been performed. Living beings of this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work. Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature, why should people worship him? Every individual is under the control of his own conditioned nature, and thus he must follow that nature. This entire universe with all its demigods, demons, and human beings is based on the conditioned nature of the living entities. Because of this character that causes the conditioned living entity to accept and then give up different bodies, low-grade material bodies, this character is his enemy, friend, and mutual witness, his spiritual master, and controlling laws. So, karma rules. Therefore, one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Indeed, that by which he may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. So, like this, Lord Krishna explains, that Lord Indra is not in control, but rather karma is in control. Then he adds another point. Which is, well, it's slightly different point, but it's certainly to do with a mechanistic view of how the universe functions. The occupational duties of the Vaishya are conceived in four divisions: farming, commerce, palpitation, and money lending. Out of these, we as a community are always engaged in palpitation. The causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction are the three modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. In particular, the mode of passion creates this universe, and whose sexual population causes it to become full of variety. Impelled by material mode of passion, the clouds pour down their rain everywhere, and by this way all creatures gain their sustenance. What is the great Indra to do with this arrangement? My dear father, our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being fathers and mothers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. So that our point is that you say, Krishna's telling Madhavaraj, you say, we should worship Lord Indra because he sends rain and we need rain because we are serving people without rain, your family will fail. So we need rain, so we should worship God in Jerusalem by his rain. But then Krishna says that I say that Indra is not the cause of the rain. Because the rain falls everywhere. It even falls on the sea, which if any place doesn't need rain, it is certainly the sea. And it also falls on the mountains. They never did any Indra Puja. So it's not a question of Indra Puja, but it's a question of karma. If you do your duty and you maintain everything to do with your duty, then you'll be successful. So what does that mean? It means that we, cowardly people, what is our duty to herd the cows? So we should worship the cows. That's one thing. But then we should also worship Govardhana Hill. Because Govardhana Hill is maintaining the cows. Who are maintaining us? So you see, Krishna is now going to come out with this formula of worship, focusing on Govardhana Hill, the cows, the brahmins who give good guidance and help in life like this. Therefore, they sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the brahmins, and Govardhana Hill begin. With all the paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra, let the sacrifice be performed. Let this sacrifice be performed instead. Yeah. So for our work is the main thing. So all the paraphernalia connected with our work, this is what should be worshipped for. Those things which are part and parcel of our work. So Govardhana Hill, well, the cows, we're dependent on the cows. And we're dependent on the brahmins because they give us direction. And we should also worship Govardhana Hill because the cows are dependent on Govardhana Hill. So Govardhana Hill is a very important part of this whole program for our work. Let many different kinds of food be cooked, from sweetgrass to vegetable soups. Many kinds of fancy cakes, both baked and fried, should be prepared. And all the available milk products should be taken for this sacrifice. So I walked into the temple room this morning, and I smelled something sweet and flavorsome. Now I was trying to figure out where is this coming from. Then I saw there's Govardhana who is already manifest. So Govardhana Hill was already here with us, and Govardhana Hill was already pervading the atmosphere with his fragrance. Very nice fragrance of Govardhana. The brahmins who have learned that the lady of the mantras must properly invoke the sacrificial fires. Then you should feed the priests with nicely prepared food and reward them with cows and other gifts. After giving the appropriate food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog eaters, you should give grass to the cows and then present your respectful offerings to Govardhana Hill. Yes, so like this. After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely. of support and care, they would be circumambulated all afterwards. But anyway, that's okay. Because going downhill will have ceased to exist by the time. And if we did it the other way around, circumambulated after everyone has eaten. So, we don't do it at all. This is my idea of karma. You may carry it out if it appeals to you. Such a sacrifice will be very dear to the cows, the brahmins, and goat without the hill, and also to me. Lord Krishna, who is the soul of powerful time, desired to destroy the false pride of all of India, when neither of the other senior men of Vrindavan heard Sri Krishna's statement, they accepted his words as proper. The cowherd community then did all that Mother Sudana had suggested. They arranged for the brothers to recite the auspicious Vedic mantras, and using the paraphernalia that had been intended for India's sacrifice, they presented offerings to Yogananda and the brothers with reverential respect. They also gave grass to the cows. Then placing the cows, bulls, and calves in front of them, they circumambulated Yogananda. Krishna then assumed an unprecedented huge form to instill faith in the cowherd men, declaring, "I am Govardhana Mountain, he is the abundant offerings." Together with the people of Raja, the Lord bowed down to the smaller Govardhana Hill, thus, in effect, offering obeisances to himself. Then he said, "Just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us." This Govardhana Hill, assuming any form he wishes, will carry any residents of the forest to neglect him. Therefore, let us pay our obeisances to him for the safety of ourselves and our cows. So they did that. In Krishna Moksha, the Prabhupada makes the comment, following what Lord Krishna himself says here, that everyone has to do better than our future. If they don't, they'll be in big trouble. That go without a hill will kill you. Don't underestimate Govardhana Hill. You don't worship Govardhana Hill nicely, particularly on this day. Then he may kill you. He may directly or indirectly, in Krishna's Shiva Prabhupada makes the point that if you don't do Govardhana Puja nicely, then the snakes from Govardhana Hill may come and bite you. And I have seen on our Govardhana Hill, there are some snakes. They look very dangerous. So watch out. You have to really perform Govardhana Puja very nicely. And I see the Govardhana Hill on occasion when they have in the sand the tracks of snakes. This weaving track through the sand, I've seen. Yeah. So just watch out. Don't underestimate the snakes even either. Don't think that I'm here in Chatsworth and there in Vrindavan, I'm not going to come here. Directly or indirectly. So, that's the end of that chapter. Next chapter is Krishna lifts Govardhana. Shukadeva Swami said, "My dear King Richard, when Indra understood that the sacrifice had been put aside, he became there is a very interesting manifestation of false ego. False ego means I think I am more important than I am. And people do not acknowledge my importance in terms of how I feel it is there, then I get disturbed. This is false ego. And particularly in this context, this is false ego. So Lord, you're walking this very ground. And that if you, anyone who does not bow down to him, is an offender. So you just see how twisted was the consciousness of Lord India somehow at that point. That, you know, if we come to the point, it's one thing to not want to be abused by other people. It's another thing to appreciate if people appreciate you. It's another thing to look for praise. Try to fish around people for praise. It's another thing if people don't praise you that you get angry with them and you think that you should do something against them. And it's again another thing that if people do something or don't praise you, don't glorify you, but rather glorify someone else and ignore you. And then you think that they're such bad offenders they should be killed. This is another thing altogether. This is really, you know, very serious fire. This is extremely serious fire. So somehow, Lord India was in such serious fire. And he was totally ignorant of the fact that Krishna is God. Identity is devotee, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan are great devotees and worthy of my worship and respect in all respects. He lost sight of that completely due to the influence of life. So angry India sent forth the clouds of universal destruction over the Subarctica. Imagining himself as a supreme controller, he spoke as follows. Just see how these cowardly men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna. And thus they have offended the gods, plural gods. But he's particularly thinking of one particular god, because he's the only one involved in the interruption. But he is going to broaden the spectrum and make it look like he's trying to do something to correct the offenders against Dharma, but really it's just to correct the offenders against himself. These cowardly men have acted indirectly toward me by taking shelter of this ordinary human being, Krishna, who thinks himself very wise, but who is simply a foolish, arrogant, over-talkative child. This is called being in Maya. So then, just get to the clouds. The prosperity of these people has made them mad with pride, and their arrogance is backed up by this Krishna. Now go and remove their pride and bring their animals to destruction. In other words, if you don't worship me, you must needs much less. Much, much less. This is a very important consideration. Lust is the root, is a very important root of the tree in our material existence. So, the cows and other animals shivered from the excessive rain and wind. And the cow had been laid painted by the cold. All approached Lord Govinda for shelter. Trembling from the stress brought about by the severe rainfall, and tried to cover their heads and cows for their own bodies. The cows approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The cowherd men and women addressed the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. So they prayed for the protection of the cows, actually. Then, just as an afterthought, they say, well, protect us too, please. But they not just say, save us, and if you can, save the cows. But save us, please. So, Lord Krishna said to himself, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain, together with terrible winds and hail. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra, proud of the opulence, and out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves the Lord of the universe. I will now destroy this ignorance. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency. For I am their shelter, I am their master, and indeed they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. So here Krishna acknowledges this very important point, that he has taken a vow to protect his devotees. Therefore we should all be devotees. Having said this, Lord Krishna, who is Krishna himself, picked up Govinda in one hand and held him aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. The Lord then addressed the cowherd community, O mother, O mother, O residents of Raja, if you wish, you may now come under the skill with your cows. You should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. Their minds thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill, where they dug ample room for themselves, and all their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and for all other members of the community as well. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst, and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Raja gazed upon him. When Lord Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished, pulled down from his platform of false pride, and his intentions thwarted. He ordered his clouds to distance. So, like this, the rain stopped. Could the inhabitants of Vrindavan came out? Krishna pulled the hill back, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan glorified Lord Krishna. Then later Indra came. Later means, what was it? On the occasion afterwards, Indra came and offered his prayers. And was pitied upon Krishna. And the great Abhishek, Krishna's Abhishek by the demigods have all been born with personalities in the universe into the place of that world. So we will say more later during the course of the day. Shri Gauranga ki, Shri Gauranga Pujamaha.